Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair, but they don't have so very long. For their judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. bigger, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
This is the history of our holiday. In 1966, a professor wanted to bring us back together. The year before, in good old Watts, we had been torn apart. The riots were our Waterloo. He created a holiday for African Americans to bring us back together, to solidify us as a race, as a people. He named it Kwanzaa. Created from the African celebrations, mostly from the Zulu and the Ashanti. It comes from Matunda ya Kwanzaa, Swahili for first harvest, celebrations of the first order. 7 days, seven principles, each day representing a different value, a different meaning for our culture, to bring us together, to show love for ourselves, for our people. Seven principles, seven symbols, a time to celebrate ourselves, our people, our culture.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Habari Ghani. Habari Ghani, and the word of today is Kuumba. Uprising Radio welcomes you to what we affectionately are calling the Kwanzaa Show in its full joy. Today, we speak to creativity, which is absolutely the wheelhouse of the poet. This is the principle in which I first get to shout out and celebrate my fellow poets, my fellow artists, who are the embodiment of the creative process. We are actively creating from our thoughts. It's really a beautiful process to observe in others as well as to be a part of. But when we talk about Kuumba and creativity, there's so much to that more than make sure that you add glitter to it. There's so much more to it. And I'm hoping that as we talk a little more about it, I know that for it to be the one, it is the one that is the hardest to really explain, because it's the one where it's easy to stop just at the outset of what it means. You could stop right at Kuumba is about creativity and not go much further than that. But it's that and how that relates to the full Black community. So to begin with, Kuumba, creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherited it. when you think creativity, think thinking outside of the box. To everything that you do, rather than just what is on the line, also be aware of what is on the sides of the lines and under the lines and around the lines. Creativity is so inherent to a people who have had to do with what they had, what they could find, what they were given, what the universe bestowed, and make something of it. People who made a full American cuisine out of scraps. People who created and continue to create style, fashion, statements from necessity. It is an amazing thing to observe people see that they can't accept us as a people, or they can't accept Black people, but cannot deny that there is something that is affected with everything we touch. There is a change to things, a shift, a different perspective that almost creates something brand new out of the thing that we are presented with. And it's just our way. This is the Women of the Calabash, and this is the Seven Principles.
Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja, unity that brings us together. We will deter Dijamulia. We will deter Dijamulia. We will deter.
Community who are making a difference. They use their creative energy to dance, paint, create music, and write books, blogs, and columns that feed our souls with emotions and provide a vision of the world through a different lens. This is just one of the many things that have been written about the sixth principle, Kumba. If we look at the previous, if we look at the previous five principles, they're all leading to a goal, a journey, if you will. And each, as you get the last one, you are prepared for the next one. To be able to be creative about what you are doing, you must first know what you are doing. And that is how purpose filled that gap. With Kaumba, even poets have to be reminded that rather than the most direct approach, the quickest answer, the fastest way, we are, in ways that many are not, obliged to see alternatives, more creative ways. It is the creative mind that is best going to be able to answer the question of how can we resolve the issues that we need to the buy-in of as many of us as possible. How do we get this done so that all of us get some part of what we're looking for? How do we do this to the most benefit to the most of us? The creative ways of answering the question are almost as vast as the creative ways of asking them. What we have found as a people is that if you don't ask it right, not only will you not get the answer that you need, but no one may tell you that if you just asked it differently, you could get the different answer. So before I go down the rabbit hole of questions and answers, the creative ways in which we are able to address anything, approach anything, is really where part of Kaumba comes from. Now, we can step away from the seriousness of that and get to the fun part. Creativity is truly what you get when you are unfettered, when you are unshackled, when you just ride your imagination to where it takes you fearlessly, and you apply that imagination to how to scramble an egg, how to figure out algebra, everything. Shift it a different way, look at it a different perspective, and you can get a different answer. I have a piece. It is called The Audacity of Style. You can call it extra. That's more or less true. Everything we touch, if it's old, we turn it brand new. From natural hatness to the tip of our shoes, we took what we could, what could have been a dirge, and made a second line, making time-tested blues from discarded instruments and cheap wine. You can roll a ball our way, and we will teach you how to slam dunk. Throw a few numbers at the girls and they can send men to the moon. A sister with skills helped cook up a cure for the Rona. A brother with power vexed racism into a corner. The kids are fed up and creative in saying so. The way of the creative is the way of the soul. Not just saying, but saying it loud, proud, and bold. Living outside the box is our regular get down. We are the lines between the lines. We are the people not bound by time. When presented with options, we see even more. We are articulated thoughts of escape as only made from the mind of the slave. And how far we have come. There's no into the ways that we can really dig into creativity and how that applies to both in your life and in politics and in community. But there's also something else happening today, and I'm not going to pretend this is not New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve of the longest year ever. And I have cleaned my house, bought my flowers, made my yum-yums, and chilled the champagne. I am in a place of gratitude that I made it to December 31st, 2020. If you are alive and you can hear this, pat yourself on the back. You actually made it through this dumpster fire of a year. But even this dumpster fire of a year was 365 days that you managed to get from January 1st to today in whatever way that you did. And if you're doing so while listening to the internet, that means that you have a device and you have access. You are doing something. You are above ground. You are connected in some way. So don't discount what you've done to come this far. The creative ways that people have used, we're using pieces of cloth to save each other's lives and our own. We are being creative as a people, no matter how it feels, in getting through this. And coming to listen to this is just one of those ways. So I thank you for that. And Happy New Year. I am going to shout out one of my favorite poets. This is Eddie Hoke Jr.
Hunger pains can build character, or they can gut punch and fold you. Hunger is the constant reminder to never say on what you will and what you won't do. Hunger is that burnt hand ready to snatch away the mask, willing to expose you. Hunger will convince a man to turn snitch against his own brother. Hunger will make you grab that pistol grip, because what's bread without the butter? Hunger will drain a father dry when working third shift. But as long as God resides in heaven and the earth is his footstool, his children will attend the best schools. For the hunger to know will have you dog pedaling in the deep end of the swimming pool of taboo. Hunger will make you get up off your ass and make something happen. Hunger will strengthen your spirit, killing the flesh daily when fasting. Some hunger after revenge due to their dude's passing. For my hunger has left a hole in my stomach the same shade as the microphone. For my change is coming. So when you catch me staring into space, I'm writing, leave me alone. Hunger. Walking through my apartment, I can see the month of December. From my breath, cautioning me of pneumonia. A star pinard as my ribs touch, as my weight begins to fall like thin timber. But the egg of testimony were unharmed in the owl's nest. And just when my psyche begins to heed tender, my spirit whispers, everything is gonna be alright, just remember what he told you. And while my pen navigates through the cold and bitter, my words of my grandfather, you either go first class, or you stay home, or staked in my brain like a splinter. The citrus in my stomach turns into a jailhouse liquor. My hunger becomes a raging inferno. But yet and still I give thanks, because tonight is cereal for dinner. Let's go.
The sixth principle is Kumba, creativity, and logically follows from and is required by the principle of Nia. It is a commitment to being creative within the context of the national community vocation of restoring our people to their traditional greatness and thus leaving our community more beneficial and more beautiful than we, each generation, inherited it. The principle has both a social and spiritual dimension and is deeply rooted in the social and sacred teachings of African societies. Nowhere is this principle more clearly expressed than in the literature and culture of ancient Egypt. Creativity here is both an original act or an imitation of the creator and a restorative act, also reflective of the creator, constantly pushing back the currents of chaos and decay and revitalizing and restoring the natural, spiritual, and cosmic energy of the world. In ancient Egypt, there was a spiritual and ethical commitment, an obligation to constantly renew and restore the great works, the legacy of the ancestors, and the creative energy of the leader and nation. This was considered doing ma'at, reaffirming and restoring truth, justice, propriety, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and order. Each pharaoh saw his or her reign then as one of restoration of ma'at, the reaffirmation, reestablishment, and renewal of the good, the beautiful, and the right. This concept of restoring ma'at includes the concept of Suruj Ta, restoring the world, used in discussing the right relationships with the environment. This is directly from the official Kwanzaa website as established by the founder of Kwanzaa, Mwalana Karenga. For more information directly on Kuumba and Kwanzaa, please consult officialkwanzawebsite.org. Kuumba is meant to add more than the linear. It is how we incorporate soul into what we do. It's how we, it is not something that can be forced. It's, I came up with a saying celebrating Kuumba for Kwanzaa, 8 years ago. Put your black into it. Put your black into it. It isn't that there is a specific thing about you that is or isn't. There is a manner of expression that is beyond what you were taught to do with your pencil or your charcoal or your keyboard or musical instrument or voice or mind or numbers. It is that way in which you do it that is your way. And it gets it done, and it gets it done with your own stamp on it. That stamp is another example of Kuumba at work. And it could be everything from just your job, what you do, to what you love, singing, anything.
A multifaceted God did not create one-dimensional people. You have more than one talent. Do you know them all? Or are you putting one blessing on the table and pretending it's full?
That was Kim B. Miller, and the piece was Talent. And that is the point of it, isn't it? We all have more than one. We do. We all have more than one. And that belief that this is as good as it gets, that's good enough. No. That extra, that spark That spark is what is needed. In fact, if you look at the symbol for Kuumba, it is in fact a spark. That thing that is you is exactly the thing that is needed. I can't think of a better piece. Ah, I can't find it. Boo. I think I found it. Bummer, not there. There are examples in which we take something and we make it our own. DJs are an example of that. That would be sampling. There are so many different examples of it. And the thing that we create after we have repurposed is in a complete new thing. A new thing that has a separate value than the thing it was created from. That is, it is of its own accord, not because of what it was created from, but because what it was created into. And we are the shepherds of that process, if ever there were such shepherds.
One day when I heard this voice say, "Who are you?" He seemed so one for the motherland, for the cradle of all civilization, for the sea and the ocean sand, for the God that looks over all of the nations. From the elders we learn so much, for our youth and the future they turn.
Uprising Radio.
Lit from within, it is the black candle that brings them in. Unity steps forth, and rightly so. Without an us, there is no point in this show. This display of a culture that could not and will not die. That cannot be displaced or sidelined, that cannot and will not be denied. Umoja, the black candle steps forth and each night steps forth first. Umoja, for unity, the black candle that will lead them. One black candle for each day to relight, a candle lit and then to stand as light. 15 of the red, as they three are on repeat, once lit on day two. If we are to the original method standing true, per the prescribed practice, first all the red, then all the green. Though opinions differ, balance can be invoked through alternating one and the other, in the same way that we are both all and also are each other's keeper. Interlocking fingers of power-filled fists brought together by the light of the one black candle.
Umoja, unity,
a black candle, to strive for,
to maintain unity
in the family, community, nation, and race. When achieved, it is felt in the solar plexus, a tone deep and rich in resonance and timbre. When connected, vocally interwoven and symbiotically amplifying each other exponentially, we are heard, felt, processed, and lifted on the waves of a note that we are holding together. We are the answered accordance to the current discordance even occurring in our own minds, the embarrassing peace that comes with acceptance. Currents of black joy are ripples that have changed the tide. Our tone reverberates through the soul, moving young and old to move together. This most sacred union, we walk in unanimity. Not the same, but together. No one shade completely telling the tale, each but a thread in a forever quilt, a leaf on the oldest tree of all, brought into our loving candlelight, we roll in concord, one to the other. We are we.
Day 2. Kajija Gulia. Self-determination. Gulia is the red candle. To define and name ourselves, as well as to create and speak for ourselves. Day 3. Ujima. Collective work. Ujima, to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers' and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. Day 4. Ujamaa. Cooperative economics. Ujamaa is a red candle. To build and maintain profit from them together. Day 5. Nia. Purpose. Nia is a green candle. To make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Day 6. Kuumba. Creativity. Kuumba is a green candle. To always, as much as we can, in the way we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we created it, do everything.
Spell weavers, shakers of the bone. Incessant scratching of pen to paper, furious clacking of two fingers or all on battered keys with letters worn bare. Breathing magic into talking books where our words are brought to life, our minds never sleep. Words born on dreams and nightmares and visions and third eye vision, breathing life into truth, manifestations of thought, complex thought made bite size. Consciousness given a hue, undulating pins bringing rivers from arid sand, fortifying voices grow up children into armed men and women. Our minds never sleep. Whispers in the dark brought into stark light, a gentle nudge coaxes thought to walk this way. Minds that never sleep, torments often not our own. Our own torments cleverly disguised as prose. Gut punching our own pain, ripping out and offering up our own bleeding hearts for one more like. And our minds, they never sleep. We, the griot, weave a world connected, and to each other connected evermore. This piece is called Unleash the Poets. Keys clicking, neck cracking, furious, fast, power packing, ink slinging, truth singing, bell ringing, poetry to the rescue bringing, bit of living grace I slip under your tongue and wait a little. In a while you feel your brain wiggle. I come on you subtle, creep in like the tide. Let me invade your little bubble, give this fresh perspective a ride. No bony finger here, though there will be time for that later. We're closing down this year, setting the stage for something greater. Now, what have I told you? The story of two pills. Nothing fancy, just a story, mind you. Peep this, though. Let me remind you. You already chose. It's under your tongue, back where we started. Now, this gets tricky, so baby, put your heart in it. Keep pushing through. Though it's uncomfortable to you, see, I'm not trying to get at you, though I really do love you. Not calling you stupid, just saying the world has worked to drug you. I fall apart, but now I'm cool. I don't make it, baby, playing by the rules. I fall apart, but now I'm fine. Trouble, man. You really don't know. The way the world turns to tell you that it ain't so, that a black queen can stop the world if you have her back. It ain't from lack, and it ain't because you're black. It's because not hinting them scrubs got you feeling faking feelings while queuing up a heart attack. Something about this power got you feeling new shit. Something about goal revealing got you kind of wanting to hit that. But not with your southern head, quite as kept, but banging it with your big brain. Keep your feet on the mat. In fact, stay your ass right there. Dipping your pen in my inkwell is not an express route from this virtually imposed hell, though it feels good and rings your bells. But baby, stop, drop, and roll from the thoughts raging fires that thrill you. Because the world their pill too. And right now, they're looking at you, ringing up, stringing up, and finding charges for bringing up. They're fully loaded, but their aim is askew. But it doesn't really matter where they try to shoot, because everybody is trying to shoot at you. And this much is true. When we unleash the poets, they know there's nothing left for them to do. What's bugging me is that it's so hard for us to see that this is true. I can't even end that piece because the reality is we still have to add to it. It seems to me that the poetry community, the artists, the people who have been connected through through the internet, through art installations, through the ways in which we've gotten art to people digitally and otherwise, are under a sort of subversion when the media is pushing into our consciousness, when there is information being barraged from everywhere, but the people who really aren't speaking up are the ones who've been having the messages all along. That creative way in which the encouragement, the motivation is given to us, our music, our art, the things that actually connect us, have been blotted out by rotating news feeds, rotating news cycles, really. Even after Orange Julius takes his seat, there is the matter of infusing the vacuum that will be left in his dusty, musty wake with an infusion, creatively fill that vacuum with not just light things, not just erotic poetry, not just. We can creatively convey things by first picking up our pens. It's not going to get, it's definitely not going to get done while we're sitting here thinking about it.
So Be It, written by Sylvia Blaylock, Sunday, December 8th, 2019, at 5:49 p.m.
Freedom ain't free if everybody ain't got some. I've said it time and again, but some have yet to hear the drum. That's okay. Do be you and all that you do. But know this too. The train is in the station. A break from your pen ain't no vacation. The art of communication is poetry. Literal, lyrical methodology. And with a world of words to choose from, we can move them in close with a soft hum. Know what I mean? You can hit a mic so fresh and so clean or gully as they come. Doesn't matter where you come from. Hit that mic like it owes you some. And then get it. Let your heartbeat set it. When you find that cadence, the crowd won't let you forget it. Know when you've got 'em and drop it on 'em smooth. Put the needle on the record and ride the groove. And let a bass line roll. Not a Fender or a Gibson, but the bass line in your soul. All that you are and have ever been is ready to take that pen for a spin. Let it all flow like spiritual indigo. The ancestors have tapped us to let the whole world know. Freedom ain't free if everybody can't get some. We've tried it their way, and now queendom has come. If both sides say the other can't be trusted, and both sides are still the same small change, maybe it's time for big things. I've said it time and time again. I'm tired of talking, and maybe it's time you see it. If verbs are more your speed, then so be it.
So Be It, written by Sylvia Blaylock, Sunday, December 8th, 2019, at 5:49 p.m.
The name of this piece is The End Piece. It was written Friday, July 20th, 2018, at 6:20 p.m. For the madness to cease, we need an end piece. A full cap on that jar that hit us with no holds barred. Running sands through the glass buried the most recent past. We now stand at the precipice, aghast. For at last, we get an answer to the question asked that there is a higher power was never doubted. Many have felt the presence and will shout it, yet others still remain unsure about it. They experience God like a flashlight in a power outage, leaving courage and common sense rerouted. By all accounting, the fat lady has shouted, the world as known is falling down around us. That the struggle is real is now compounded in the absence of courage. Evil has sprouted. What once was ill-advised is now retiled and regrouted. Marksmen and techies are now heavily scouted. Imaginarily unfulfilled millionaires feel reignited, wanting a piece of a pie that they feel we denied them. Still sipping the poison fed to them, undiluted, wanting their supremacy to be undisputed, while we scratch our heads wondering how they could do this. What are they, stupid? Yet they scratch their heads wondering why we do this, wanting our self-sufficiency undisputed, still sipping the poison fed to us, undiluted. Wanting a piece of a pie that we feel they denied, imaginarily unfulfilled millionaires we reignited. Those with real vision are now heavily scouted. What once was ill-advised is now bouted. That the struggle is real is now compounded. The world as it was known is falling down around us, leaving courage and common sense rerouted. We experience God as light during a power outage, yet others still remain unsure about it. Many have felt the presence and will shout it, that there is a higher power was never really doubted, and now we know we are the answer to the question asked, running sands through the glass, bury the recent and distant past, but not fast enough to cover up what can no longer last. For the madness to cease, we need an end piece, and by that I mean never cease. We are the end that is peace. And that's that piece.
I am the fruit. I am the fruit of the spirit of my ancestors. From the seed they planted in the gardens of their dreams, their hopes as they suffered and toiled, sweated and bled and cried to nourish their prayers for the day, their tomorrows, and our here and now. My soul has yearned to taste this fruit, this offering, for which so many sacrificed and died in the hot, balmy days of the fields, in the cold, dark nights of someone else's wilderness. We still need it through. With the hungry babies crying and no time for sighing, and our unwilling complying. For the Lord, He was trying, testing our mettle, testing our character, of our visions and of our pain. And I am the spirit of my ancestors. And that spirit is sweet. For I was planted and nurtured in the spirit of forgiveness. I am the spirit of love. May I honor this spirit with my character, my works, and my dreams. For my children's tomorrows with love. For in the fruit resides the seed, and I am the fruit. I am the fruit. I am the fruit.
That was Brother in Penn, Bill Peters. He is the founder of Inner Child Press International, and that was I Am the Fruit. This is Women of the Calabash.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony of liberty. Let a rejoicing rise. I am the lifting sky. Let it resound.
I am a loaded gun with no trigger, full of bullets, learning not to aim at my own head. I am the one who always got into trouble, who always did the thing, who always chose to try it, see what happens. The one who would take the punishment that came from doing the thing that I knew I really needed to do. Quiet is kept. I am you. I am a book full of pages I thought no one wanted to read, or whose cover rendered me unreadable, illegible, or in a foreign language that even I didn't understand. I am not a book. I am an album. I can't be read. I can be seen. I can be heard. And for some, I can be felt very deeply. I thought I was there only for those who chose to seek me. Quiet is kept, that is when I feel I am most me. I'm a song, still in composition, an aria, screamed with and without a mission, done alone in my car or for a very high commission. I'm a message said, I'm a poem read, I'm a lyric harmonized. I am a poem verbalized. I bring my love in it supersized, leaving hearts baptized in poetical sunrise. when as one we reach that high note, like we're reaching for the skies, quiet is kept. I see it in your eyes. I am alone now in a room. Quiet is kept. Some think it's my tomb. My conspiracy theories are fully grown, now calling my fear locker home sweet home. As Armageddon sets the stage from the back of this cage with the whole world set on rage, America finally comes of age. Meanwhile, still alone, still home, still using this pen to stab to the bone. If the news is going to be rough before it gets better, but must be said, and deep down we know this, then is it in our job to tell it as poets? I am a poet.
This kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
At times you wanna quit. I mean, literally throw in the towel. Your arms heavy, lungs burning. Truth is, these are the championship rounds. You gotta keep pushing, you gotta keep punching. Remember, all the rounds in the gym, all those laps you had to swim, all those taps to the chin. How many times you almost stopped, got clocked but didn't drop? The hate, they hate you cause you ate that standing eight, you great. The fire, the desire to go the distance, they count you out in an instant. But I knew, I know how it be. Doubt from doubters robbing you of victory. Remain clear, hold dear what it took to get you here. The path laid before you, paved by those who are laid before you. Keep focused, that victory's near, I assure you. They make you to break you, they celebrate you to hate you. Why care how the ungrateful rate you? What do winners have that losers relate to? Trying for those never intending to succeed. We breathe what we believe, conceive what we achieve. We keep swinging till that bell start ringing. It ain't over till that fat chick starts singing. And how leaving that heart exposed makes you susceptible to body blows. How even people in my corner was telling me I was a goner. Laying in that hospital bed, my family thought I was dead. So I fight with my pride, be damned if I let some cousins aside. Every fail, every fall, every setup or setback, I was undivisible under God. The main event, no undercard, never done, see? Battle life had never won me, never knocked out, didn't even stun me. No give up, quit, or split decision to leave the champ, my only prediction. When we win, we choose to claim fame. When we lose, we choose to find blame. Focus is what I'm about. Doubt'll get you knocked the fuck out. Keep that lack of confidence blacked out. Losers are those never wanting to try. Failures come to those afraid to die. See, and that ring is best you. Life will test you. Shots coming to suppress you, but never let it suppress the best you.
That was one of my favorite poets written in pain, Carlos Lavazzari. Happy New Year's. This is Anthony Arnold.
From the beginning of time, the black male has been a king, a slave, a revolutionary, and in current times, a target. Not only have we had to fight against racism, we have had to fight against our own kind. Dr. King said, "The time is always right to do what is right." That is why it is now time to awaken our voices once again, to bring forth the truth as only the voices of the voiceless clan. We have been persecuted, prosecuted, electrocuted, washed with fire hoses, bitten by dogs, shot down and choked out. Why? Because of the color of our skin. Because we fit the description. Yet look around you, we have invented most of everything you see. Our sisters helped send men to the moon. Yet we were only considered to be 3/5 of a man. The Supreme Court said a man of African descent couldn't claim citizenship.
Blackmail.
Not the people that the Constitution were talking about. We have been told that we weren't smart, that we couldn't do things that others could do. Yet the Tuskegee Airmen never lost a bomber. The 761st Black Panthers were the ground version of the Airmen, hand-picked by General Patton himself, bloodied but unbowed. The revolution was not televised. Congressman John Lewis, a freedom rider and a martyr on Selma, beaten to within an inch of his life, twice, a black male. Dr. Martin Luther King, a stalwart of the civil rights movement, taken by an assassin's bullet, a black male. Emmett Till, George Stinney Jr., two children taken by the racist elements of their time, black males. Malcolm X, the yin to Dr. King's yang, by any means necessary, taken out by his own, a black male. Medgar Evers, a voice for those in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, shot down in the driveway of his home, a black male.
How should we interpret
Fred Hampton, shot, no, murdered in his prime, because he dared speak out against those who would hold us back as a community, as a race. He was only 23. A black male. We speak to inform the masses, not just hear ourselves talk, not just to be there for no reason. Malcolm X said, "A man who stands for nothing will fall for anything." We won't fall.
that each and every one of you take something away from the fruits of a poet's labor, that you truly hear the voices of our ancestors, that you understand what it means to be black male.
How should we interpret that?
We tend to categorize black boys based off of their appearance, their socioeconomic status, and their academic achievement. And it's very easy to do so when you find out that 54% of black boys will never graduate from high school, or only 54% of African Americans graduate from high school. That 2.5 times of black boys will be suspended more than their white peers. And 1 in 3 black males born today, yes, I said 1 in 3 black males born today, will see the inside of a prison cell. How does this make you feel? Now, buckle up. This is all a part of the Obama effect. With the election of President Obama, we, for even a brief moment, believed Dr. Martin Luther King's dream that little black boys and little black girls could be whatever they put their mind to. Doctors, lawyers, mayors, presidents, heck, even I wanted to run. But I also realized that it negatively reinforced something. It negatively reinforced that black kids can no longer make excuses because President Obama is in the White House. And because they can no longer make excuses, it's because they live in what we like to kindly call a post-racial society. A post-racial society is a society that we all live in today, of course, where it's completely void of, you know, racial injustice, systemic bias. Nobody goes to jail at disproportionate rates. But do that. With the election of President Obama, the only way that black boys can ever succeed is if they choose to take the high road. This high road, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, to the White House is a very slippery slope, and it has no staircase. And so what we do to tell black boys that they can be a success is if they follow three things: exceptionalism, assimilation, and respectability policy. Exceptionalism says that, by all means, please distance yourself from anyone that you think is less than. And assimilation says, well, when you get in the room, make sure you take off as much blackness as you can so that when you walk into that space, white people feel comfortable. And respectability politics says that when you are in that room, make sure that your conduct and decorum is appropriate and that everyone looks at you as you ought to. But that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, because if we're telling little black boys that they have to be exceptions to the rule, assimilate, and be respectable, how can we ignore these things? The pyramid of respectability. This pyramid of respectability, whether we're conscious of it or not, we judge black men based off of it. We say that black men can either be prisoners, working class, high school grads, college grads, or the elite. And whether how high or low they go, as long as you occupy the black body, you will still be susceptible to racism.
Once upon a time, these stars and stripes evoked pride, a sense of duty to represent the American that I am. I celebrated the rocket's red glare and watched in awe as bombs burst in air. Miss Glory was never old to me. On my 10th birthday, I celebrated the bicentennial with joy. In high school, the sharp, straight crease ironed into my navy blue slacks was a confusing contrast to my anti-ironing board stance and my chucks. All my clothes that were not ROTC uniform could fit comfortably under my bed. I tried to fuck my way into the Army and earned my way into the Air Force instead, only to be told that I was aberrant to the military uniform in this body, no matter how much I wanted to fit. And no matter how much I was, in fact, fit. The shame and the hurt never washed away. My shoulders carried the weight of my shame until I had the offending tissue cut away due to permanent nerve damage from pulling myself up by the bra straps entirely too many times before I was 30. The flags I waved were closer to home now, more interested in spectrums and root work. I embraced the many colors that I am, feeling the blood oppression and bruises to be more hue than I care to endure. Once upon a time, I believed in America as a land for all, and I was right. No longer finding myself in a state of obvious, I will no longer proclaim what is self-evident. I will not demand what was never yours to give. Freedom is not a concept. I am not your construct. I am an American. What that is self-evident. And what that means is extremely open to interpretation by design. From the spirit of the land to the promise on the wind. From the stolen riches that built an empire to ill-gotten gain that paid the ticket to ride, I am an American.
You are listening to Uprising Radio.
Kuumba gives us license to have fun with it. Yes. There is strong work to be done and being done. And yes, we need to put our back into it and put our nose to grindstones and pull our oar or whatever our position is, stay in our lane, whatever it is, we got to do our thing. But in the doing of it, remember that this too isn't slavery. Just as our freedom is freedom, so is this work also freedom. In the way that you cannot fully express yourself at a job that pays you to do it exactly the way they want you to do it, there is a calling that is even bigger than that. That asks you to put what you are into it because you are the missing ingredient of this particular recipe. I'm going to read the poem for Kuumba one more time and we're going to close with my sincere gratitude. You know, I keep saying that. You guys hold me to it. Every time I say, okay, we're done. Like, oh, wait. The audacity of style, I believe, is going to be a growing piece. So you heard it here first, but it's still chewing. You can call it extra. That's more or less true. Everything we touch, if it's old, we turn it brand new. From natural hatness to the tip of our shoes, we took what could have been a dirge, and we made it a second line, making time-tested blues from discarded instruments and cheap wine. You can roll a ball our way, and we will teach you to slam dunk. Throw a few numbers at the girls, and they will send men to the moon. A sister with skills helped cook up a cure for the Rona. A brother with power vexed racism into a corner. The kids are fed up and creative in saying so. The way of the creative is the way of the soul. Not just saying, but saying it loud, proud, and bold. Living outside the box is our regular get down. We are the lines between the lines. We're the people not bound by time. we, when presented with options, receive and more. We are the articulate thoughts of escape, as can only be dreamed by the slave. I would like to thank all of the new listeners, my online folk. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you very much for supporting Uprising Radio. I'm looking forward to the new year. In reflecting on the past year, we went into this year saying that 2020 was going to be the year where we see things clearly. That was, in fact, the campaign that I did, the year of seeing things clearly. And when I showed everybody the artwork I did, I don't know why I made it dark and rather apocalyptic. I'll show you guys, but in retrospect, it's funny to me that the number of people who said it looked a little dark and apocalyptic, it didn't seem hopeful. They thought it would be brighter. I had no reason, except I like how the colors looked. And in the year that we just went through, spot on. I have not written down 2021. I have not opened a 2021 calendar. I'm not being superstitious, but I would like to go ahead and sweep this year out before I pull that one in. Maybe that makes sense. To those of you who are already starting to bring the new year in, I'm clinking my glass with you. I am thinking of you in love. To all of the poets, all of the networks, everybody doing this thing. Ooh, the gunfire has started outside. They're already shooting their guns. To everybody in the poetry community, I say to you, this is the day I raise my glass to you. Thank you so much for everything that you give. May your gift be what turns the tide on the misinformation, on the manipulation through emotion, with the news, no less. The next time we say Habari Ghani on the other side of Kwanzaa, may you be the good news. May you be the good news. And I thank you.
When achieved, it is felt in the solar plexus, a tone deep and rich in resonance and timbre. When connected, vocally interwoven and symbiotically, amplifying each other exponentially, we are heard, felt, processed, and lifted on the waves of a note that we are holding together. We are the answered accordance to the current discordance even occurring in our own minds, the embarrassing peace that comes with acceptance. Currents of black joy are ripples that have changed the tide. Our tone reverberates through the soul, moving young and old to move together. This most sacred union, we walk in unanimity. Not the same, but together. No one shade completely telling the tale, each but a thread in a forever quilt, a leaf on the oldest tree of all. Brought into our loving candlelight, we roll in concord, one to the other. We are we.
Is from the soundtrack of the Promised Land documentary. I believe that was made in 1999. And the singer is Puff Johnson. That someday we'll all be free. That's going to do it for us. I would like to wish you a happy new year. May you have everything your heart desires.